Blog Talk Radio.
Discover who we are within the context of love. We discover what is in the depths of our being within the context of love. We come to know ourselves as persons of deep, I should say, as persons of deep reality, of deep faith, and within the context of love. We understand that the universe is a product of love, and that the Creator, the one who fashioned and designed the universe such as it is, did so as an act of love. We no longer look at the universe as a machine or in a mechanistic manner. We no longer think about the goat in the machine. We have moved far beyond that. We are thinking of the universe more in terms of infinite mind at work. This was arrived at in the early part of the 20th century. These thoughts are now becoming more public, and it's unfortunate that we've had such a lag in what has been discovered through physics and what the public has come to understand about the nature and structure of the universe. But now we are coming to the realization that spirit is primary. Indeed, in the book of Genesis, God the Holy Spirit brings forth the universe through his word, through action. And so we see that spirit is primary, the substance. And indeed, what does this term substance mean? Quantum physics has come to show us that we more accurately speak of the universe as energetic patterns or events. And so wonderful new realities are open to us. And we can move beyond the Bohr-Rutherford model of the universe as electrons and patterns around a center, a nucleus at the center. We can move beyond that. That was helpful and explanatory. It was a helpful explanatory model for its time, but now we have moved beyond that. The universe is indeed mysterious. It is wonderful to behold. We know that the sunlight that falls upon our skin happened 7 minutes ago. We know essentially that when we look up in the sky at night, for the most part, we're looking back in time. There's a certain point when sound waves can become visible on the wings of a jet. We understand that air is drafted or sucked around the sphere of the Earth, which gives it its energy. There are things we come to understand, and that the harmful chemicals that come from our automobiles are moved by the winds over the oceans, where they are absorbed as harmless bicarbonates. This is God's plan. This is God's universe. These systems help us to grow, help us to mature, help us to remain alive. God has set up the universe in a wonderful manner. I can go on and on, but I want to get to our central thought of today. And that is that all things are possible, not probable. All things are possible for the one who believes a spiritual neurologic odyssey. I have a book in my library that is entitled Rewire Your Brain. And indeed, the author of this book is a notable scientist who talks about the importance of understanding how the brain can be rewired through cognitive behavior therapy, because he understands that changing one's thinking can change one's mood. But we're not going there either today. We are looking, or we're going to examine the importance of faith. And that faith is not merely an intellectual formula. Faith has to do with one's entire being. We're going to throw out the idea that there is such a thing as blind faith. Now, blind faith is never found in the Bible. One cannot modify the term faith, which is a noun of action, with an adjective, block, or the adjective. The two, this cannot be. Faith perception is a system of understanding for believing ones. Faith perception. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, gives the definition of faith action, faith perception. The word is pistis. We're going to look at a case study this morning in the Gospel of Mark. Beginning in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. This is a very profound case study in that it involves a demonized child and his father. And what is very powerful in this narrative case study is that the father is going to discover so much about himself through the instrumentality of his demonized son. He's going to see what he has lacked, what he lacks. And the great physician, Jesus, is going to substantively heal both of these individuals. The demonized son has the obvious symptomatology. And there's some very frightening things that are going on in his life. Whereas the father's case, it is what is going on with him, may seem more benign, but nevertheless they are real. Fear can enter into our lives without our perception, but we cannot get rid of fear without being unaware that fear exists in our hearts. That's very interesting. And so, with that, let me read Mark 9:14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast them out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, that is, Jesus said to the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So at this point, Jesus gives a clinical history of this particular condition. Now, and then the father goes on in verse 22. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. Then, after the colon, in verse 22, the father makes this remarkable statement, because his initial encounter was with the disciples, who are not spiritually mature yet, they're not spiritually strong. They will, however, be in the book of Acts with the coming of the Spirit, when they would be endowed with power from on high. It is the resurrection power of God. At this point, they do not have that power. And so here's a very interesting question, a statement that the Father makes to Jesus. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And so he says this to Jesus, if thou canst. Now there is doubt within this statement that is obvious. He doubts the power of Jesus. And there is doubt and hope together. And so here the Father reveals his heart, where he is. Their father revealed his attitude and what is going on in his heart. And so, through the suffering of a loved one, we see the father's suffering is revealed to us too. He suffers a lack of faith. That is a spiritual condition. The son, however, has a physical condition. But both the father and the son suffer. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, help us. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, because of the length of my show, I don't have time to go into the nuance of verse 22, that is, of the Father's statement. And it is very interesting. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things possible to him that believe it. And so this is a very serious condition of the demonized boy, and a very serious condition of the father's lack of faith has come to this new awareness. And so the father is at his own, he has reached his boundary. doubt and hope, he wants an answer. And he receives a clinical answer from Jesus in verse 3. If thou canst believe. And so Jesus goes back to the Father, canst. So the word canst is a present indicative middle. Present tense, indicative statement of fact, middle voice, that is, an individual must act upon himself for his own interest. If thou canst believe, this is more than a mere intellectual assent to belief. It is more than a mere intellectual definition of belief. This is a belief of the cardia, of the heart. And so we have the Father's self-understanding, and he is exposed. His Son is obviously exposed. And Jesus brings out of the Father what is in his heart. And the Father perceives what is going on. And he comes to understand that his Son's healing is connected to his own healing. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, now we are at de profundis. This is what Jeremiah experienced when he wept over his people. De profundis. That is, with tears, sadness, Jeremiah pondered, and Jeremiah was worried over the crisis of his people in their unbelief. And so we have another instance of an individual allowing his heart to be exposed. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Here is a spiritual paradox that is very real. And the words of Jesus, all things are possible for the one who believes, are given in the context of an individual who is suffering, because his child is suffering. And now he needs a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling. The father needs to change, and he is made poignantly aware of the need to change his thinking about this situation. The father must step out of the box of his old self-understanding. He must step out of the box of conventional thinking in order to receive what he says he wants. There must be a positive action, an action that is diametrically opposed, an action that is the antithesis of what has been his norm. And it is oftentimes a great challenge to step out of one's normative behavior. But he must. And so there is this this wonderful statement that he makes in verse 24, to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The Son is brought before Jesus because he is the demonized one. The Father come before Jesus because he is struggling with faith. And now he's made, once again, poignantly aware of his own condition. Here's a marvelous verse that Paul writes for us in Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, Paul writes, "Now to him who is able," that word able is powerful, "now to him who is powerful to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to," note this, "according to his power that is at work within us." Now, here's a statement about the resurrection power of Christ within the lives of believing ones. "Now unto him who is powerful to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." The power to change our destiny lies within. It is the resurrection power of the living Christ. Now, we may hold old neurocognitive prejudices and biases from the past, and through the wonderful understanding of neuroplasticity, these things can be changed. But the change begins where? Change begins within the heart. The change begins within the psyche, the mind. What happens in the mind first also is mediated through the soma, the body. So we have a tripartite understanding of man. There is the pneuma, spirit, there is the psyche, the mind, and there's the soma, the body. So we have a holistic, a complete view of persons. And what must take place, our understanding about God changes as we understand more about his word. The cognitive behavioral therapy, as it is termed today, is an old, old science. If I want to change my destiny, if I want to open my life to new possibilities, I must change my thinking. I must step out of the old box. I must step beyond my conventional thinking, because it only hinders creative and adventurous thought. If I'm to change my condition, if I'm to have the life that I want, then I must step out by faith. Faith is a sign of action. Faith is necessary. It is mandatory. I must have hope and I must have faith. And I must have faith, hope, and love in order to have a sound heart. In order to live a life that is complete. In order to be free of a stigmatized viewpoint that has been mediated to me by others. If I want to be free of the thinking of others, if I want to be free from my conditioned thinking, then I need to get inside of the Word of God. I need to hear what God has to say. And what I love about this Father is his honesty. I love the fact that he embraces his exposure. It is unfortunate in the West that we like to hide from our exposure. This man embraced his exposure. That is the beginning of healing. Now, notice, Jesus never said anything that would be offensive to this individual. And yet, he is a master diagnostician. He is the consummate diagnostician. His father, confesses to Jesus what is going on in his life. 1 John 1:9. We are to confess. To agree with God. You and I are to agree with God when we have sinned. But when we have not sinned, we can go before the Father. We can go before the throne of grace. He is aware of our infirmities already. And when we go before God, there is no risk. There's no risk. When we embrace our weaknesses instead of pretending they are not there, instead of being led astray by them, when we embrace them and when we agree with God that our weaknesses are there, then we can begin to heal. And we can begin to be set free. Now, Jesus goes on in verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, this is a sovereign charge, come out of him and enter no more into him. Because if he had not said these latter words, then at some point, this spirit can return into this individual's life. Now notice the dramatic exit of the spirit. So Jesus actually said in verse 25, Jesus said, get out. Get out of him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This is very powerful language that is used in the Greek. And he arose is a word of resurrection. He arose, that is, the demonized child arose out from his old condition. And he is moved into a new condition through the power of God. Paul has told us in Ephesians 3:20 that we have the power of God operating in our lives. So we can arise out of old thinking, old attitudes, old thoughts, old anxiety, old depression. We can resurrect out of these old state and experience newness of life in Christ. Verse 28, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus teaches the importance of prayer and the vital nature of prayer. So much is given to us in this case study. Faith, pistis, prayer, talking before God, embracing exposure, being aware of the power of God within us, being aware that we can be set